We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is Dennis Van Someren. Dennis retired from his successful business about 10 years ago and subsequently joined Shine for Kids, a non-profit organisation formed in 1982 that works solely to support the children and families of those involved in the criminal justice system. Dennis, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Bill, thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
So Dennis, what made you change from a profitable business to a non-profit charity?
Well, funnily enough, I was listening to the radio and Shine for Kids was on. And I thought, well, instead of being indifferent, I really should lend a hand because my father was in prison when I was a young man, so I knew what these children were going through, and so I rang Shine for Kids and said, here I am, can I come over? And they said, yep, and I've been there ever since, 9 years.
I think that was Richard Feidler and Kirsten that you heard speaking on the radio, wasn't it, those 9 years ago?
It certainly was, and what that young lady went through made my experience look like a walk in the park, but it still made me get off my butt and go over there and just lend a hand, because it really is a humanitarian problem that we have, and it's been swept under the carpet for so, so long because it's such a difficult area. And I think we're starting to make some headway.
So the numbers are pretty frightening, aren't they, when you say it's a humanitarian crisis?
Well, at the moment, we've got a stadium full of children. We've got 60,000 children affected by parental incarceration, and the tragedy is that about 20% of them will go there themselves without early intervention.
I've seen it written, I think, in your annual report or the annual report of Shine for Kids that some 50% of prisoners are parents, which sort of brings it home a bit, doesn't it, when you think about that?
It does, Bill, and is exacerbated by the fact that we have 28% of that prison population as our Indigenous brothers and sisters. And with a report from PwC or a model from PwC, they estimate that it is costing the Australian taxpayer $8 billion a year just to house the Indigenous prison population, which is a national tragedy.
That's B for billion. We hear about the Indigenous population being overrepresented in jails. Why do you think they are so heavily overrepresented? Are there single causes for that or you can point to?
There are many root causes, but I remember an Aboriginal artist, Kerry Kenton, speaking at a Rotary District Assembly 2 years ago, and she cried out to that Rotarian population that the young Indigenous men need mentors, they need role models, and they just haven't got them. So this is one of the root causes of especially in the juvenile system, I beg your pardon, where, as you know, there has been a lot of publicity in the Northern Territory of recent times.
You also mentioned then the economic crisis. These figures are just extraordinary, and they're blowing out of control, aren't they? I mean, people are building new prisons, and then you need new prison guards. The cost for each prisoner, I understand, is pretty exorbitant.
It is. It's immense, and it's growing. I mean, if you take away the on costs, that is, the welfare payments, the cost of crime, and there are many other areas that I can't go into at the moment. But just like in any business, there are on costs, and it's exactly the same with housing our prisoners. So at the moment, just to house the prisoners in Australia, it's costing us $4.2 billion per annum. Now, if you look at the on costs, it's many, many, many times more than that. So that's why we're looking at a humanitarian problem.
So if we can't get the attention of the authorities on the humanitarian and the social side, we should be, at least be able to get it on the economic side, that if they do something to stop the recidivism, if nothing else, it's going to have a major effect.
Absolutely. The recidivism rates are just terrifying, really. I mean, nationally, they're well over 50%. In some areas, they're 75%. But look, there is some good news stories that are going around. I've not long had a meeting with the Corrective Services Minister in New South Wales, and he is hell-bent on reducing recidivism, so we're on the same page. And I know he's very frustrated in that it's not being reported, and those things should be reported because they are good news stories and they affect the future of these children that we're talking about. So I'm, after meeting with the Treasurer's Department and initial talks with Family and Community Services and talks with the Minister for Corrective Services, and our Premier also knows of our work, I'm really starting to feel as though we're going to work together to try and combat this problem. And I'm feeling really hopeful, more than I ever have done before, because Shine for Kids just has not had the resources to go and lobby governments. And because we've been working at the coalface, we only have 42 staff in Queensland, New South Wales, ACT and Victoria, and we have about 200 volunteers. So we've been really, really stretched. So any funding that we can get is going to help. It's going to have a positive multiplier effect, whereas the recidivism rates have a negative multiplier effect.
Now, in the Shine for Kids annual report, it says that the biggest increase in the prison population is in the remand section. So this is when people are waiting to actually get their day in court. Is that a problem, another problem, that more money needs to be put into the court resources if you're going to do something about this enormous remand population?
Bill, yes. Since the bail laws were changed, we have had this problem, and I have been transporting a young Indigenous man for 8 years, and his mother has just gone back in for the third time. Now, the last time she went in, she was on remand for 2.5 years. Mm. So therein lies the story.
Look, we're going to take a short break now, and we're going to listen to a song from Lynn Hamilton, might be known to many of us. It's called On the Inside, and it's from the TV show called The Prisoner.
He used to give me roses. I wish he could again. But that was on the outside, and things were different then. We'd build our world together with a love so clear and strong. But that was on the outside. Where did I go wrong? On the inside, the sun still shines and the rain falls down. But the sun and rain of prisoners too, when morning comes around. Last night I dreamed we were together, sharing all the love we'd known, till I had to face the nightmare.
And that was On the Inside by Lynn Hamilton. And we're speaking today with Dennis Van Summeren, who is a volunteer for Shine for Kids. And we've been talking about the enormous problems in the community as a result of the prison population and the families that they leave behind while they're in prison. and how really without Shine, nothing much is done. As I understand it, Shine is the only national charity in Australia that takes this child-centred approach to the families of people in the justice system. Is that right, Dennis?
That is correct, Bill. There are government agencies that are working on this problem, but as I said, the problem has been there for such a long time. It has been swept under the carpet. And what we are now doing is making the public aware of the problem and making the government more aware of the problem so that they can also help us in our efforts.
Now, unfortunately, you are well qualified to be in this area because of your own background, and I know from other interviews you've given that your father was in this situation for years, I think 5 years from when he was first charged until he finally got his day in court. So you're very aware of this whole situation from your own experience, aren't you?
I am, Bill, and it all started when I was about 13, and I see many of the children that we look after today in exactly the same situation. Nothing has changed, and we're going back to the 60s. And from the time that the whole family imploded until the time that my father was incarcerated was 5 years. So there was bail, there was appeal, and then finally it happened. And, of course, going through puberty at that time and trying to keep your life on some sort of even keel, because as a teenager, you know, you want adventure and you don't want loneliness, you don't want desolation, you don't want trauma. And that's what goes through the emotions of these young children that I see today. You have to show grit, and if you don't, you'll fall through the cracks. And that's where I was talking to you about before, that the 20% of those 60,000 children go. And, of course, one of the root causes is bullying, and, you know, that assists the burgeoning prison population, and it wrecks people's lives, and it causes these young people to suicide. The reason being is they are lonely. And where Shine for Kids can step in with their early intervention programs, we have mentoring programs, and I'm involved in transportation of these young people to see their parent in prison, and I mentor at the same time. So basically what I'm saying is, I know what you're going through, I've been there, and it is an anxious time. But after my father got out, I decided I had to educate myself. So I'd shown the grit, I'd made it, I hadn't turned to drugs or alcohol to any great extent. Oh, no, so I didn't take drugs, but, you know, just like any other teenager, we enjoyed going to the pub. I educated myself, married at 24, a wonderful lady with a lot of patience, I might add. I'm still married to her today, and a wonderful family, and you know, I have been reasonably successful in business and a nice home. And I'm not blowing my trumpet. I'm saying to these children, because I have a captive audience in the motor vehicle, look at me, I've done it, I'm still here, I'm living proof that you can do it. Are you listening? And they do, I tell you.
Well, yes, you've got that voice of authority. But it's interesting because you survived all these difficult times, and yet your mother didn't want you to go and visit your father in jail. I don't think he did at any stage, and you didn't see much of him over that 5 years before he had his trial.
No.
But and some people might say it's best to keep them away. They might get influenced. But you take another approach, and you want the children to get to know their fathers, don't you?
No question about it. I missed my father. We were pretty close. He was a very sporting fellow, and we did a lot of surfing together, and we both liked sport. And he was going through hell because he was a World War II veteran as well. And the whole family imploded, my parents split. And I miss my dad, there's no question about that. And I see that in the kids today. You know, it's their own DNA. They still love their mum, they still love their dad. And a lot of these kids don't understand that their parents have been put away for 10 or 20 years. They don't understand death, so, you know, they're not going to understand mum or dad being in prison. So they still want to see them, they still love them. They're still their mum and their dad, and it's very, very important that we encourage the bonding, because not only does it help the child understand what's going on, but it also helps the person that's inside. And I know when Shine for Kids have child activity days during the school holidays, after we go and everyone's packed up, the prisoners are tranquilo. So the corrections really love that. It settles them down.
What do you see as your role? I mean, you've described yourself as a mentor and a driver. When at what stage do you get involved with the children?
I had a visit last Saturday and the Saturday before. So Shine for Kids will book a visit, and then these are long termers, the ones I've had, and I go and pick the child up, and we have a chat on the way out in the car. We talk about just about everything.
So might this be on, say, the first day after the parent's incarcerated, or
they have to get classified and put into a certain correctional centre, and then there may be a request that's come from the welfare officer to our child and family person, and they have to go through quite a rigmarole before the whole thing starts. And and I go and pick them up out, and it's a supervised visit, so I go inside with the child, I observe, I listen, and I do have some sort of relationship, or build some sort of relationship with the person inside as well, so I can get an understanding of how they feel and how the child feels towards that person. And that's all part of the bonding. And then I drive the child home, and there's mentoring. And outside of that, we do have a mentoring program. This young Aboriginal boy that I've been taking for 8 years, we go riding bikes around Olympic Park. And, I've taken him out to many different things. And he treats me and the family treat me not as an elder, but pretty close, I have to say. I'm a grandpa, and that's an honour. And when you see the young man bloom through such difficult circumstances, and I can't begin to tell you, we haven't got the time. I don't work as a volunteer. It's a gift to me that they're giving, And I'm looking back to what I went through, and I didn't have any of that stuff. I did have a mentor who probably saved my life, but generally I did it alone, and I'm helping these kids, and it's just a wonderful thing.
And also from your own experience, what is the first reaction when you're told that your parent, father or mother, is going to be in jail tomorrow?
Boy, I describe my emotion back when I was 13. I describe it as desolation. It wasn't good fun, I can tell you. It's alarming. It's traumatizing. But I think the thing that comes through is you feel alone in the universe. And you can't look to your parents for support because they're going through so much trauma themselves. My mum had so many breakdowns, I just can't remember how many. So she was not in any position to be a parent, really. And my father was in exactly the same boat, but then they split up, so I didn't see him. It's a tough gig. And, I say to my fellow Rotarians, and I'm on the guest speaking circuit, I've done about 70 Rotary clubs, and I say to them, look, probably the most important tool that we have as human beings is an outstretched hand. And I think generally in our society we lose sight of that very, very powerful tool. And I cite two little girls that I've taken to see their mum, who's been put away for 20 years, and their father was given 34 years, and they're living with grandma and grandpa, as I did when I was a young man. And one was, when I first took them, one was 5, the other was 3. And after the visit, and of course during the visit, they were all over mum. And I love you, mummy, I love you, mummy. And she was returning the affection. And I'm walking out. I had each of them holding their hands. And the eldest one was just crying at the top of her voice, I want my mummy, I want my mummy. And I get into reception and there's grandma there crying her eyes out. So no amount of counselling is going to change that situation. However, an outstretched hand will.
So we talked earlier about the problems. Do you see this as the way forward, the mentoring program offered by Shine and hopefully others? Is that the best approach, do you think?
Most definitely. And I got so much encouragement when I met with the Corrective Services Minister, because that's what he believes. Mm. So I think we can only go forward when we're all on the same page and we're wanting this thing to happen. And everyone wants to make a difference to these vulnerable children, because they are tomorrow's society. We have to reach out to them. And the money that's been thrown at this problem over the years has just been horrendous, and it just has not worked. But I think there is light at the end of the tunnel now. We just have to forget what's happened in the past. Whatever decision-making has been made through governments has not worked. But I think the phoenix is rising.
Well, let's hope so. And those are your aims. What do you see as Shine for Kids' aims in the future?
We definitely need to expand. I will cite just one reason, and the Corrective Services Minister has had a hand in this, but we have a mentoring program at Carryong, Baxter Juvenile Justice Centre, and that mentoring program is called Standards 1. Last year, we matched up 20 mentees with mentors. We had one go back into custody out of that 20. We have two enrolled at university, and we have one studying to be a youth worker. The national figures tell us that 54% of juveniles will go back into custody within 1 month of release. And we have this program that's operating in Carryong, and I've just told you the stats. Why aren't we rolling it out in the Northern Territory? Why aren't we rolling it out in Victoria? Don't worry, I'm not going to stop with governments. We've just started, and we've got to spread the news. We've got to fan the flames. With people like you, Bill, and this program, you will help to fan the flames of indignation, of let's be proactive. Let's not be indifferent. Like the great Australian novelist Morris West, who wrote Shoes of the Fisherman, said the greatest evil facing our society today is indifference. Let's knock that on the head.
Definitely. And we've got details on our website, dadsontheair.com.au, but you can also go to the Shine website and you can find details there where you can make donations. Does Shine for Kids have DGR status, do you know?
Yes.
Yes?
Most definitely.
Shine for Kids has DGR status, so any gifts you make are tax deductible, and you can make a bequest there. You can volunteer and join Dennis out on that front line. So, look, it's a very worthy cause. But we've reached the stage of the program where we ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. Dennis, you're a bit of a muso. Which song would you like us to play?
Only a bit of a muso, Bill. Look, two men who I admire. One who's a really good friend, and he taught me finger picking a long time ago, and he wrote Song and Dance Man and had a hit with it back in the 70s, Mike McClellan. And my old guitar teacher from the 60s was the inspiration for one of the world's great guitar players in Tommy Emmanuel, and Tommy has just released Song and Dance Man in the States as a duet with Ricky Skaggs, and it is a fantastic version. So to those two guys, congratulations and well done. I admire you.
I'm used to living by myself, always on the road, making light of other people's woes. I don't need to take much more than just a song or two, and even a smile can help me lift the load. I'm just a song and dance man, going from town to town, playing one night shows and country rodeos. I'm just a song and dance man, living on a smile. I'll share your laughter anywhere I go.
I don't care too much for cities ain't seen when I call home. The only dust they've got there's just plain dirt.
And no one takes you in unless they want you off the street. I get the feeling some folks think a smile might hurt. I'm just a song and dance man, going from town to town, playing one-night shows and country rodeos. I'm just a song and dance man, living on a smile. I'll share your laughter anywhere I go. I gave up looking for answers a long, long time ago. Life just taking chances, ask any dancer 1 foot wrong and it's all undone.
Of your time, or that you recall my name.
Fame is just a momentary curse, but if you recall a song or two that lingers when I'm gone, then I guess a song a dance man could do worse.
I know that's right.
I'm just a song and dance man, going from town to town, playing one-night shows and country rodeos. Just a song and dance man, living on a smile. I'll share your laughter anywhere I go. I'm just a song and dance man, going from town to town, playing one-night shows and country rodeos. I'm just a song and dance man, living on a smile. I'll share your laughter anywhere I go. I'll share your laughter anywhere I go.
And that was Song and Dance Man, done by Tommy Emmanuel in a rare duet. So it just remains for me now to thank our special guest today, Dennis Van Someren. Dennis, thank you very much for being on the program and representing Shine for Kids so well.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for your gift, Bill.
And we'll be back next week with another show. Don't forget you can listen to this show or any of our shows by going to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us a note. We love to hear from any of our listeners. We'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.